So it's good to be with you this morning, and it's good to be part of the worship this morning, isn't it? It was great. I know Mark's prayed for me, but I'd just like to pray over what we're hearing this morning. So just join with me as I just do that. Father, thank you that you're here today. Thank you, Father, for your spirit within us. Thank you for our ability to worship you. And I pray, Father, that as I speak, you'd open our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us personally, individually, especially for us, Lord. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to spend my time this morning talking about something that I think is relevant to most of you. It's certainly relevant to me, but maybe I should just check that. So can I ask you, have any of you ever worried? Yeah? There's a few of you, I think. Yeah, there's a few hands going up. Yeah. Have any of you worried over the last few weeks, can I ask? Yeah. Well, it's not a surprise, is it, that worry is an issue for us today. It's certainly an issue for the world as well. Statistics show us that levels of anxiety continue to rise, and they affect large numbers of people. In fact, around 1 in 4, 1 in 5 people are likely to suffer from severe anxiety at some stage in their life. And I guess we think, don't we, that maybe worry is something special and particular to us in this day and age, but I'm pretty sure that everyone was worrying in Jesus' day too when he spoke to them. And you know, Jesus absolutely knows about our worries and our concerns. And that's why, as part of the Sermon on the Mount, which was part of Matthew's reading today, from the final section of that, Jesus takes time to talk to the people there and to talk to us about the problems of worry and about how we should deal with them. Jesus says, "Do not worry." In fact, he says it 3 times in the passage. And I'm sure you know that if Jesus says something, it's important. If he says it twice, it's really significant. And if he says it 3 times, well, I think that means it's really, really important. Because, you see, he knows just how destructive and undermining worry can be. You know that spinning that goes on in our heads when we can't get it out of our mind, when we don't move forward. If we can move forward in action, that's positive. But if we can just get it going around in our heads, that's the problem. And Jesus wants to free us from that. As we might stop a child from doing something that might hurt them, Jesus says, "Do not worry." He wants to set us free. And in the next few minutes, I want to go through and look at some of the words that Jesus is speaking to encourage us that there is no need to worry. I'm going to bring forward 6 points from the passage, and then I'm going to look at a solution in the passage that Jesus gives us. And actually, I'm going to refer very quickly at the end to some other helpful verses. And as I do that, I'm going to put some things going to go up on the screen that I hope will just sort of help us just sort of orientate around the 6 points. So the first thing is that God created and preserves his creation. In the Old Testament reading that we had set for this morning, which I didn't read because actually it's a very long section from the first chapter of Genesis. It's all about creation, and it talks about God creating a range of things to make our world beautiful for us. Light, land, sea, plants, sun, moon, stars, and all living creatures. And you know what? God saw what he'd made, and it was all good. In this passage, Jesus uses the birds of the air and the flowers of the field to show that God looks after them and cares even about the least things, the littlest things. It's not left to chance. Our Heavenly Father remains actively involved in our world. We're also, number two, especially valuable to him. Jesus is reminding us that God looks after his whole creation. We are special to him. And the Genesis passage that we talked about, God carries on after creating all creatures to the pinnacle of his creation, and he made mankind, man and woman, it says, in his own image. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. Rule over the fish, the birds, and every living creature. And God saw what he had made, and it was very good. We have a good, good Father. We've heard that this morning, haven't we? About the good things that our Father has for us. How he provides for his children, and he watches over us. Jesus gave his life to restore our relationship with the Father, that we might live for him and we might have eternity with him. Our Heavenly Father knows our needs. Our Father understands that we need the basics, that we need food and drink and clothing. But he also understands the other things that we need too, the need for love, the need to be loved, the desire to be healthy and to prosper. He knows all about these things and more. Why does he know that? Because he made us. I don't know how many of you know Psalm 139, but it's a brilliant psalm. It's a really personal psalm. It's lovely, so do read it. It's great. But he reminds us in that psalm that God not only made us, but that he has searched us and knows us. And he's familiar with all our ways, it says. And actually in verse 23 it says that he knows our anxious thoughts. So when we go to our Father, he knows specifically what our need is. Yes, he wants us to talk to him about them. But basically he knows. If we're in distress, if we're sick, if we have hopes and fears for other people, if there's something on our hearts that's burning, he knows. And that should be a big comfort to us. Jesus goes on to tell us that worrying is a waste of time. Can anybody add a single hour or an inch or a cubit to their height? Well, we know the answer to that, don't we? We can't do those things. And sometimes we end up worrying about the little things or the smaller things, the things further down the priority list. And that's because actually we have no option, really. The really important things about life, God's in charge of. And we can't do anything. We have to trust him for the important things. It's God that gives us that next beat of our heart. Without him, we would perish right now. It's him, as we heard, that enables us to go through the night and to be here today. If he wasn't in charge of every aspect of our lives, of our body, our health, our family, all of that is in his hands. And he knows about those little details. So it's interesting, isn't it? We do actually trust our Heavenly Father in lots of things. But somehow we found it hard to trust him in everything. Now we sang earlier that well-known song, It Is Well With My Soul. I think it's a great song. It was good to hear everybody singing it and putting their hearts into it. And I don't know if you know the background to the song, but the writer Horatio Spafford wrote this song on the way to visit his wife after the tragic drowning of his four daughters. It's an enormous tragedy. And yet he knows that God is still on the throne, that his future security in Christ remains. He was distressed to the core. But he knew that God still loved him and that his future was assured. And it's the same for us. We are in God's hands. No matter what, he is still there for us. Despite it all, he loves us and wants the best for us. And ultimately will bring us home to be with him, no matter what we're facing. In Paul's letter to the Romans, the epistle that Doreen read for us this morning, we read that perspective is important. Paul points out the importance of perspective because we tend to worry about the immediacy of life, the things that are going on in this moment, but we forget that we're on a journey to eternity. And actually, although we don't like to admit it, what we're doing at the moment is a small part of the big picture in terms of God's destiny for us. And We need to be mindful of that long-term destiny too. Paul also reminds us that we're not alone in the journey. We all go through it. Even creation. All creation is waiting with eager expectation, he says. And as Christians, we're waiting for the redemption of our bodies. That's the hope that we're seeking for. He moves on to talk about faith. He talks about you of little faith. It's clear from this that Jesus thinks that this is a faith issue that we're facing when we worry about things. And actually, I don't know about you, but that's a bit uncomfortable in a way. We can say we have faith, and we can do things that demonstrate faith, and yet we still seem to have a tendency to worry. Some of us more than others, I agree. But Jesus knows that our faith is not fully formed, and he encourages us to trust in God, to trust in our good Father, because he's able to deal with all things. And I wonder, even though it's hard, can we trust in him, whatever the outcome? That's a really big challenge, isn't it? And I think it depends very much on how we see our Father. If we do see him as that loving Heavenly Father that's got our best interest at heart, that really cares about us, really knows everything about us and created us, then that's a great basis on which to build trust and faith in him. But we need to get to know him. We need to get to know him well, to understand him, to know what's important to him, and to know how he wants to help us. So we need to ask God to help us with that. We need to ask Jesus to reveal by the Holy Spirit the Father that Jesus presented to us. Now, I've been struggling recently with a relatively important decision. It's not a life or death decision, I'm pleased to say. But it's been a hard decision for me, and I really want to get it right. I think, as far as I can work out, I want it to be what God wants for me, because I genuinely believe that he does have my best interest at heart. And frankly, I trust his judgment more than my own. I know what I'm like. And actually, this study has been quite interesting because it sort of helped me to remind myself about some of the things that God wants me to know, and actually wants all of us to know about the impact of worry and the solutions that he has for us. But it's been hard. So it may not be easy to find what God wants, but he does promise to help us with those struggles. And maybe sometimes we need to be a bit like Paul, and we need to realize that actually it's God's decision at the end of the day. He will determine what's best. Paul talks about his thorn in the flesh, and although we don't know exactly what that was, we know that he prayed 3 times to get rid of it, so he was pretty keen to get rid of it. But it wasn't removed, and he had to deal with that. And he comes to the point where he gets comfortable that what God has said is what's right, that his grace would be enough for Paul. And sometimes I think we need to get to that point too, where we realize that it's not what we want, it's what our Father wants. Not my will, but yours. And the final point that Jesus makes in this well-known passage is that about the future, really. He talks about, I find it an interesting way to finish the passage in a way. He talks about, in the final section, Jesus tells us not to worry. He points out a few things that we might worry about. And then he kind of casually says that tomorrow will worry about itself. And then reminds us, somewhat unhelpfully, I could say, that today has enough troubles of its own. I've never found that a great way to sort of, conclude things. But of course, what he's saying to us is that there are going to be troubles. You know, there will be challenges. There will be problems. So let's get used to that. I don't know, when you first became a Christian, whether somebody said to you that if you become a Christian, it's all going to be great and plain sailing. Well, if you haven't already realized, it doesn't quite work like that. And in some ways, there are more challenges, I think, because of the faith that we hold. But Jesus tells us how to deal with those problems. The second thing I think it really reminds me of is that Jesus is encouraging us to live in the moment, to live in the present. Not as a way of kind of ignoring our responsibilities or being selfish and only thinking about ourselves, but because that's the way that we were made. It's the way God put us together. We were designed, I think, to have memories of the past, to have hope for the future, but to live very much in the present. And that's how we were made. All our capabilities are surrounded by that. That's how we're put together. If God wanted us to know the future, he could do that. And indeed, he does do it sometimes, specifically, in particular for particular purposes. He does through prophecy. But in general, we can't cope with knowing what tomorrow will bring. And Jesus is encouraging us not to make life more difficult for ourselves by bringing things forward. Leave them with God. Ask him to look after those things that we haven't yet got to bear. There's a great quote, actually. I thought it was from Sir Winston Churchill, but I think it's from Mark Twain. And it's often used, so many of you might know this. But it says, "I've had many troubles in my life, and most of them never happened." And I think that's so true, isn't it? We can worry about so much stuff, and it never happens. But it exhausts us. We wear ourselves out worrying about things that, frankly, are best left alone. So remember that God is in charge and that we were made to live in the present today for both our troubles and our opportunities, actually. Now, I think we established at the start that one or two of us have a bit of a problem with worry. So in these final minutes, let me turn to consider how we might bring some of those present struggles more into alignment with what God plans for us. Well, firstly, the passage we've read today has the overall solution. Very familiar words, I think. "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." God has plans for our lives, and the best place for us is to be exactly where God wants us to be, doing just what God wants us to do. So seek him out. Find out what he wants you to do, what he wants us to do as part of building his kingdom here on earth. Stay close to him. Put him at the center of everything and let him be the first place we go when we start to worry. We heard that this morning, didn't we? Let it be the first place that we go to. When we start to worry, when news brings the possibility of despair, let's take it to the Lord. I find, actually, that this is personally really helpful. If I find myself worrying, I force myself almost to say, "No, I'm not going to do that, God. I'm going to give that back to you." And sometimes I have to do that multiple times. It's not as simple as just doing it once and suddenly it's all gone. But I do find that helps. And it helps me, I think, because it does two things. Firstly, it reminds me that God is in charge. He's the rock on which we stand. And it also reminds me not to listen to those undermining words that the devil puts in our minds about, let's get after something, let's spin, let's talk about it, let's worry about it. We're not the only ones that do this. Actually, Jesus did it as well. When Jesus faced the biggest test of his life, he went to the Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when sweat was falling like drops of blood, he relied on his Father and asked him to give him strength, and he provided all that was needed. So when we go through awful things, and we will, remember, take it first to the Lord, for he strengthens us and gives us peace. Seek God's righteousness. Jesus has done everything that is needed for us to be righteous before God, before our Father. We have a call on our lives to live holy and pure lives. But we also have a God that knows our weaknesses and has put in place a path for forgiveness. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's some guidance from this passage. But let me also quickly, and it will be quickly, make a reference to some of the other verses which I think will be helpful. So, some verses that give encouragement from the Bible. I'm not going to go through all of these in detail, but the first one that comes up there is a very famous verse, a real favorite verse, really, from Philippians, that talks about the need, if we're anxious, to take things to God in prayer and petition or supplication. That means really taking it to God and being humble about the fact that He has the power to make a difference with thanksgiving and present our requests to Him. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's a very precious thought, that. So I encourage you to take that away and to think about it and reflect on it if you're worrying. There's also a really good little antidote in there, actually, to worry. It talks about thanksgiving in there. Giving thanks is a great way to bring back some of the balance into our thoughts. When we worry, we tend to think about all the negative stuff. But when we give thanks, it reminds us of all the good things. And sometimes we have to do that kind of mechanically and intentionally, because maybe we don't feel like it. But actually, that enables God to release His grace into our lives and bring back the balance that we need. So just very quickly on these last ones then. So God's love is with us always. If you think you're too far away from Him to love you or to help you, remember that there's nowhere that we can go that His love does not go with us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. He has enough power for any situation. If you think He can't deal with the thing you're worrying about, then remember, He can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And Jesus brings freedom. Remember that Jesus came to bring good news to the poor, to set the captives free. He alone can set us free from our fears and our anxiety. We need to break the power of anxiety and worry. It holds us captive, and Jesus can break us from that. So, today's message hopefully reminds us that Jesus knows that we have a tendency to worry. And He wants to save us from the destructive impact of that worry. He reminds us that God is in charge and He's aware of all of our needs. And also, He has the power and the love to deal with them. We're encouraged to remember that seeking God is important. The relationship with God is above all things. Get these things right. Focus on Him and the other things will fall into place. And finally, if this is a real issue for you, we all worry, but if it's a real issue for you today, can I encourage you to take it to the Lord in prayer? And that might mean for you coming forward after the service. We've got prayer ministers on duty today, and they would just love to pray with you and help to restore that balance in your life. And finally, I've got some copies of some sheets at the back there that have words of encouragement from the Bible. A few of these, but a lot more as well. And if that would be helpful to you, please do feel free to take them and then ponder over them and allow God to work in your heart to set you free. Shall we pray as we close? Heavenly Father, we thank You that You know each one of us intimately and that You understand the challenges that we face. We thank You that You made us to share everything with You and ask You now to fill our hearts and minds with Your perfect peace. So in Jesus' name, we pray that You will set the captives free and protect those that are burdened by fear, worry, and anxiety. And we claim that promise in Jesus' name. Amen.